give us a progress report on the matter. He confirmed that he would bring them today, because that was the 18th of January when he made the confirmation, and then he confirmed that he will bring them in February. We didn't know the date of the meeting in January until it was confirmed by the committee secretary. So when we, when I approached the minister about it, he indicated that it will be an anomaly in law and administratively for a proclamation to be signed by the president, and before the president has seen any report, it is now sent elsewhere for debate and discussion. So the minister says, suggests that once the report has been finalized, he will table it in the cabinet, and once it has been adopted, he will bring it here for us to debate it. Hence, we brought it here, because it's the committee that requested the report. Now, we want the committee to agree or disagree on the proposal by the minister. Ms. Ngwenyamabile is suggesting that we should accept the proposal by the minister. Is there anybody else who has a problem with that? You see, the machine that records the deliberations in this meeting does not recognize any members. It recognizes the person moving and seconding. So, Ms. November, you're seconding?
The chairperson, I'm seconding.
Thank you very much. Chief Whip, agreed? Thank you very much. Mr. Ntapane, Honorable Ntapane, is suggesting that we defer the matter to the next meeting. We welcome you, Honorable Trollip. We have the agenda item here to welcome you. We have been having an advance warning that you were coming. We are glad you chose us among all the committees in this parliament. We are honored. Thank you very much for attending our meetings. The next item on the agenda is the report from the commission regarding the progress they are making in the restitution per province. In the last meeting, we suggested to the commission that to continue to receive reports from the Western Province, Western Cape, will create a wrong impression that land claims are only happening in the Western Cape, whereas the land claims are handled throughout the country. We then ask them to present a full report for the whole country, and they must continue to do so every quarter, like they were doing in the Western Cape. So they are not going to give us a report about the Western Cape alone every three months. They are going to give us a report of progress on land claims every quarter. And that is why we're having this presentation today. Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We have prepared some report through the Commission, and we will request the Commissioner, to the Acting Land Claims Commissioner, to submit the report. We will then respond to questions raised, Chair. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot, Honorable Chairperson, Minister, and Honorable Members. We are going to present a report on progress in respect of land claims in the country, as requested by the Portfolio Committee in the last meeting. Just as a way of a background, the Commission was established in 1995 following the promulgation of the Restitution of Land Rights Act in 1994. Records in the Commission indicate that a total of 79,696 land claims were lodged by the cut-off date for lodgement of claims. In March 2011, the Commission embarked on a process to verify the accuracy of information regarding the number of claims lodged
and the number of claims that are outstanding. In December of 2011, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform embarked on a process to verify the accuracy of information regarding the commitments that have been made to restitution claimants, what we call as a restitution commitment register. The records management project is made up of two stages: the scanning of all restitution project files and the manual counting and analysis of claims based on the scanned project files. The scanning is 95% complete and the physical counting has resumed in some offices of the Commission. The purpose of the counting exercise is to determine the number of claims that were lodged, the number of claims that have been finalized, the number of claims partially settled, what we call phase claims, and the number of outstanding claims. Preliminary findings are that in counting the total number of land claims lodged, the Commission could have excluded land claims that were lodged timeously, but where the Commission did not have a record of them. For instance, where the claimant has proof of lodgement of timeous lodgement of the claim. In some instances, claims that were lodged with the Commission on Land Allocation, that is the body that was sifting through claims just before the constitution of the Commission, these are deemed to have been lodged with the Commission on Restitution of Land Rights. The method of counting of the claims differed. It appears that at one point the Commission counted land rights, that is, number of properties claimed, and later counted land claim forms. This was further complicated by the consolidation of claims, for instance, where 5 consolidated claim forms were counted as one claim. The project, we anticipate, is scheduled for completion in August 2012. The Restitution Technical Assistance Project, this purpose for this project is to determine the full extent of the commitment register. The project entails the verification of details on payments, outstanding balances, and remedial actions taken to date in respect of approval of claims and development grants. Physical verifications of farms acquired but not transferred to beneficiaries. Verification of land that was acquired from private owners and transferred to the state. And verification of the amount of the suspense account and to identify remedial action thereafter. The slide number 6, Honourable Members and Minister, is the number of provisional outstanding claims per province in the country. You will note that in the first column, the not researched claims, these are claims that have not yet been researched. Validation is where we have approved the claim. The Commissioner has accepted prima facie on the basis of evidence before him or her that the claim meets the minimum recommendation. Research is where then the research has been conducted. The next column is gazette, where the matter has been gazetted. Verification is where we have verified the household and the claimants. Valuation is where we have valued the land in order to embark on negotiations. And negotiation, those are claims where we are negotiating with the landowners or holders of the properties. The section 42D, it refers to a section in the Act where the Minister will eventually then approve that the claimant has succeeded in his lodged claim. Now the total, as per the preliminary findings in the whole of the country, is that we have 8,770 claims still outstanding. I'll move to the another slide following. Settled restitution claims. Now, from 1995 up until the 31st of January 2012, those are the statistics. The first column there after each province is the number of claims settled, then followed by the number of households. Then the third one is the female-headed household, the number of beneficiaries, and the hectareage, the last one, the number of hectares. So it means that the number of approvals, settlement, either by the minister or the commissioner, the number of hectares is 2.8 million up to date. We'll move to the following slide. 8. That one speaks to hectares transferred between 1995 and 31st January 2012 as per each province. The first column there is total number of hectares approved for acquisition. That will be the 2.8 that I've spoken about. Total number of hectares transferred to beneficiaries, that is the 979,000. Total number of households that benefited, 339,000. And total number of beneficiaries that benefit, all in all, 1.6 million up to date. I'll move to the next slide. Now, the total number of hectares acquired for restitution beneficiaries from private individuals is 2.8 million hectares. Of the 2.8 million hectares, a total of 979,921 hectares has been transferred into the name of the state. Sorry for that. Of the 2.8 million hectares, a total of 979,921 hectares has been transferred into the name of the claimant communities and the state. Of the 979,921, that is the tapping error, of the 979,921 hectares, approximately 140,262 hectares has been transferred into the name of the state due to community disputes and other various challenges. We do not have a comprehensive database on details of all farms transferred, as well as the title deeds information at the moment. But
what is the tapping error?
The number. The nine, it says 976,816 hectares. It should read 979,921. I'll move to the 10th slide. Now, that's, honourable members and chairperson and minister, I chose the grants expended as the 31st of January 2012. I won't go through each and every province, but you will see that the grants approved as of 31st January 2012 is 4.2 billion. Grants expenditure to 31st January is 866 million, and the grant commitment is about 3.3 billion. Slide 11. Challenges affecting settlement of claims. Historically, claims on privately owned land and claims for financial compensation were prioritized as they assisted to spend the budget. Conflict amongst beneficiaries. Claims on unsurveyed state lands. Claims on communal land, which is occupied, claims on invaded state land, long-term leases on state land, state-owned entities, municipalities demanding payment of market value, for example, in Alexco in the Northern Cape. Remedial action to challenges affecting settlement of claims. Validated claims on state land shall be prioritized for finalization by 2013. Mediation of conflicts amongst beneficiaries by our branch, which is called, for short, is called STRIF and LRMF. Survey of state land to be completed by 2013. Engagement with National Treasury regarding state-owned entities, municipalities demanding payment of market value for land, as we have alluded to the example of Alexco. 13th slide. These are types, honorable members, of claims affecting national strategic assets, what we call national strategic assets. Claims affecting conservation land, including national and provincial parks, claims affecting mining land, claims affecting forested land, and claims on South African Defence Force land and South African Police Service land, which is mostly training facilities and other types of use. Common elements of national strategic assets, delays in settlement of claims due to economic value, national security value, conservation and or heritage value, being a protected area and subject to international obligations. The delays in finalization of settlement models with stakeholders to ensure sustainable development and beneficiation to claimants. The next slide shows a breakdown in status of claims on conservation land. Honorable members will see that a total of claims on conservation land is 138 in total, the majority being in Limpopo, in Mpumalanga at 37. The next slide shows the breakdown in status of claims on mining land, a total of about 204 claims, the majority in Mpumalanga on mining land. Breakdown in status of claims on forestry land, a total of about 245, with the majority of those claims being in KZN. There are no claims on forestry land in Northwest, Gauteng, Free State, and Northern Cape. That's a slide that shows the number of cases in court. The referral, that's when the matter has been referred to court for adjudication due to inability to agree to settle the claim. Review, matters which goes on review in the High Court or in the Land Claims Court. The third line there is direct access, where claimants approach the court directly. Matters to compel payment of purchase price, we don't have anyone at the moment. And other declaratory interdicts in the courts, which accounts to about 61 in total. We have a total number of 280 cases, live cases at the moment in the commission. Out of that, 98 has been assigned to what we call the Land Rights Management Facility, CTH, where we fund the claimants to pursue their cases in court, either due to validity issues or other issues that they feel aggrieved. If they do qualify, the department do provide financial aid for them to take the matter to court. Thank you. Baya danki, Diabulela. Thanks, Chairperson.
This is an opportunity, Minister, if you want to add anything before we open for questions and discussion.
Not yet, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, here's an opportunity for you to ask questions, comments, and debate. Honorable Trollip, Honorable Ngwenya Mabila, Honorable Ndapane, and Honorable Tebekulu, Ntwana Kabeza.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got a few questions, but let me just start with the one on records management of the project. I need some clarity on the preliminary findings, where there are two issues, where some of the claims were lodged timeously, but where the Commission did not have a record of them. I want to know why would they not have a record of claims lodged timeously, and where some of the instances the claims were lodged with the Commission on Land Allocation, and the department doesn't seem to have clarity on those claims. I want to know how it can happen that claims that were lodged timeously are not properly recorded.
You can ask all your questions now.
And the authenticity of the conclusion date for this project being August 2012, is that a realistic date? Chair, and then just around that figure that was corrected to read, of the 2.8 million hectares, a total of 979,000 hectares has been transferred into the name of the claimant, communities and the state. And of that, approximately 140,000 hectares has been transferred into the name of the state due to community disputes. So I just want to know, that does that mean that 140,000 of that 979 that has been transferred has actually just been transferred temporarily into the name of the state because of disputes? So the outstanding amount is about 1.9 million hectares that still need to be transferred into the name of claimants. And what is the time frame of transferring that 1.9 million hectares?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by thanking the Acting Commissioner for the briefing. Chairperson, my first question is based, when looking at the report, the number of claims that needs to be researched, maybe I can get just an indication what plans have been put in place to ensure that we fast track the research process for these claims to move to another to another stage so that we make sure that those claims are being finalized. Then also on the 76,506 claims, that includes the face claims and the face payment and those that have been finalized. How many of these 76,506 claims that have been finalized? Because it's not clear, because they've put the three, all the two or the three as one. Then the other one, Chair, on the comprehensive database, which system was used before in capturing the information, and also what were the challenges of that system? The new system that you are developing, are you sure that you'll be able to capture the information, the accurate information? Then on the conflict amongst beneficiaries, you have noted something on the remedial action, but I want just to check, is there any progress in resolving the conflicts among beneficiaries, since you've said that STRIF and the Land Rights Management Facility is assisting in dealing with those the conflict problems. Thank you, Chairman.
Honorable Chairperson, I will start by complaining. You know, this thing of being given documents here at the meeting is not healthy. We are not doing justice as we are supposed to do. Not all of us are able to read and analyze at the same time. We need to read, assimilate, for us, you know, to have an effective comment in the document. Be that as it may, I want to find out now from the department. Scanning is 95% of scanning has been completed. I want to know now how much physical counting has been done. In outstanding claims, that is slide 6, there are a lot of not yet recessed claims. I want to find out now what is the reason of this. In slide 8, I don't know whether maybe bullet number 3 in slide 9 might be answering my question, but let me put my question. The total number of hectares that are approved, let me take Eastern Cape, 129,000. And then total number of hectares transferred is 95,000. What is happening with the difference? Well, if that slide number 9, in slide number 9 answers my question, that would be fine, but I would love to know what has happened to the difference between 129,000 and 95,000. In slide number 14, common elements of national strategic assets. Okay, delays in settlement of claims. You, national security value, what is that? Can he explain to me what is national security value? That is all, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like firstly just to air my concern and worry with regards to what is happening in the offices of the Land Claims Commission, more especially in the regions or the provinces. One has noticed that most of the time, the employees that are tasked to deal with the files of certain claims or certain communities where claims have been launched have been changing hands time and again. The files have been changing hands time and again, and that resulted in those that have been put to given those files to work on. They don't communicate with the communities. and the claimants. Then one would ask, what is actually expected of them, or how are they managed as far as reporting that they've done so much per, say, a month or 6 months? The attitude as well, that each time when calls are made to these offices, you couldn't find them. They don't answer the calls on their cell phones. And when phoning straight to the offices and leaving a message or request to the receptionist that they must be told to phone back, then they don't respond. And one would ask them, what is it that is in place just to monitor their operations in the offices? And Chairperson, on slide 11, bullet number four, the claims on communal land occupied, I really would want to understand what is meant actually by that. Is that are there communities that have been sort of allocated land to reside on as communally shared, and at the same time there are people who are removed there and who are claiming to go back to those areas, and what is the solution on such situations? Thank you.
On page 6, outstanding claims not reserved. KZN is the highest with those claims which are not reserved. I may be pleased to know the reason why we have so many. Page 9. We'll see approximately 140,262 hectares have been transferred in the name of the state due to the community disputes. And then after we've transferred this in the name of the state, who maintains those farms? And then how long is it going to stay under the name of the estate before taking back to the people who claim those land? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me hear what they say, and then if there would be a reason for me to come in, I'll do. But there are broad issues here that I could just talk to. let me start, Chair, by this point, which is the second from the last. Claims on communal land occupied, what is the solution to that? Because that is it's partly policy matter. The reason why we have separated the communal land tenure process in the green paper from the rest is exactly that reason, that you're dealing with a much more complex situation. So in the green paper, we've isolated it. We have developed a proposal, a proposal in the form of a model, and we have had a good meeting with Contralesa. We are going to meet now with the House of Traditional Leaders. They have given us 2 dates now. We're going to meet with them just to go further. We have agreed with Contralesa on the model we presented to them. Briefly and generally, the model it is based on complementarity between traditional and democratic institutions, with some specified roles for the traditional councils in particular. So the meeting with Condoleezza was very useful in us agreeing, and they are participating in that working group on the green paper. There is a work stream particularly on this matter, and that's working. We're hoping that because it's a widely representative structure participation, that we will have something to present to the country for discussion, for further discussion. Because you need a solution that is not only short-term but long-term and sustainable, taking into account food security and modernizing some of the institutions that relate to livestock management, felt management in communal areas. So that is what in the green paper we're looking at. Secondly, on that, in the green paper, we are dealing with this matter because we have identified a problem of creating communities within communities through the model of restitution. If you take the CPA in a communal area which is already occupied by people, and then during apartheid times, or any time after 1913, you have a community removed from one community, a portion of that excised for whatever apartheid would have wanted to do, remove people to point X. Came 1994, 95, people who claimed back. The people who claim are not the owners of the land in the first place, are those who were removed. What we do, we bring them back. They create a community, instead of them joining their old community, we create a new community within that community, and we call that the CPA. It runs that small onion portion within the bigger portion. And the owners of this place actually say, no, you were taken away from this place. It is our place. So the restitution model creates that conflict. So the amendment that we're proposing in the working group on legislative reform is dealing with this conflict problem, because it's a no-go situation with that as it stands now. So that is another work stream that is dealing with a question which is raised at a broad policy level. We hope that we will resolve the matter broadly. The the other thing that deals with policy, remember the question about beneficiaries and fighting and so on, it relates to this in communal areas. In non-communal areas, you still find that problem. It's an institutional one again. We don't have control over trusts as a department. It's a Department of Justice that deals with that. But where you then have trusts established to manage these relations created by restitution, then whatever form of land reform. Now, it is very difficult to deal with that. But we're hoping that we during this discussion on the green paper, that also will be dealt with, and see how we can deal with that. But the CPAs also come in here. You have a situation where, and the honourable members know this very well because you come across it all the time, where chairpersons of CPAs just have no regard for law. The law requires that they report annually and so on. That's completely disregarded. They have no regard for the very people who were given the land by the state through restitution. So the management of this itself by ourselves as well as the department is not good. The honourable members will be reminded that they raised this matter with us themselves to say we want you every the law says annually you must report on the state of fees, CPAs. It's only last year because the committee had raised this thing that it actually started. We started last year to present a report. And out of that report, you honorable members will remember, 39 of the CPAs actually had transferred land back, had sold land without recourse to the owner. It was due to the work of the committee that the insistence of the committee that. So the management, the governance issues are issues that we're focusing on. We want to have clear policy, clear legislation that is enforceable. On our part, first of all, on our part, we are working on this matter, thanks to the committee as well. So it's a policy measure, it's a legislative issue that we're working on. The other matter which perhaps is, yes, the just honorable members will just recall that When we talked about the green paper in government and even that one which was leaked to the media, it referred to land rights management board. Here there is a land rights management facility here. That facility doesn't go beyond intervening when the people are evicted and so on. Doesn't deal with the social issues. The land rights management board goes beyond this. Sure members have seen that, because the green paper approach has been that we provided the framework with underlying principles and we asked South Africans to debate the detail. So there you will find that there's a land rights management board which is supposed to deal with the social issues. It's not only the people who are given land that have conflict. It's those people who, anybody who has got rights on land, they do conflict most of the time. And there's no institution that involves people to solving their own problems. So that's why you have got a large number of outstanding conflicts, because you don't have a mechanism that is collective, that brings people together. The Land Rights Management Board, I don't know what's going to come out of it. I don't know how far they've gone. Agri-SA in November last year, because we had the reporting from the six working groups, they requested to pilot this one because they think this one will actually help solve a lot of problems out of court. So we agreed with them. We said, fine, let them, as a working group, and then let them develop a system of intervention that will be based on the principles of the land rights and the powers and all of that, the composition, so we see how it works. So they've offered to pilot this because of the potential it has to solving these problems in a lasting way, because it brings together police, because police don't do their job on land. We don't do our job as society. Here is a family that's just spending cold nights on the side of the road. We'll drive past all of us, the judge, the magistrate, the police, the politicians and everybody, unions, because there is no mechanism that we can always appeal to that is regular, it's well managed and so on. And the farmers are saying, you pay for court costs for those who are evicted. What about us as farmers? We also need to be assisted by government. So that's why they think this model of the Land Rights Management Board, which has learned from the Land Rights Management Facility. So the conflicts are the real problem behind lack of development of land that has been handed over. And therefore, we think that the Land Rights Management Board with the local committees will help answer that question that says, what are you going to do with the land because of conflict sitting in the hands of the state? Because it is a temporary measure until the solution there. So those are policy issues, Chair, which I thought I should deal with. I won't deal with the other technical things. I think the team will respond to them. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson.
start with Mr. Honorable Paul's first question on the unreported claims.
Yes, thanks. Now,
we have got a number of other speakers that have followed on that one. They didn't complain with the
problem. On the issue, the question from the Honorable Trollip is that I think during the formative stage of the commission, there was this commission on land allocation where it could receive claims and adjudicate or validate them. And as we are alluding in the explanation that there could have been some instances where through the transition period from the Commission on Land Allocation to the Commission on Restriction of Land Rights, they could have had some teething problems with regard to the recording of the information that the Commission on Land Allocation had, and that it could explain some of the anomalies there too. With regard to point number one, where claims were lodged timely, but where the Commission did not have record of them. What we think could have been the problem was that when the commission was decentralized, remember it was centralized in Pretoria, we think that when it was decentralized, when the offices were established in the offices, there could have been problems with regard to the migration of the systems to the provinces, with regard to the proper recording of the claims. So it's a historical issue. We attribute this whole thing to the formation of the commission, the lack of possible systems then when this the migration and decentralization from the Commission on Land Allocation to the formation of the Commission on Restriction of Land Rights, that could have attributed to this anomaly where you find that a claimant has a proof that he has lodged a claim, but somehow in the provinces the commission does not have a record of that claim. That talks to this challenge that we're trying to address of the number of outstanding claims, which we are still trying to work on, as reported today. Now, the realistic nature of the August 2012, we already counted manually the about three provinces, Honorable Chairperson, but then because of this project to scan, then we had to put it aside so that we can scan the documents, so that we don't have documents in the offices. They are removed into a safe warehouse somewhere under lock and key, so that we deal with the database, so that we ensure the authenticity of the information that we deal with and keep the manual files locked somewhere very safely. So we had to rush the scanning issue, so that we scan the documents, we then warehouse this manual document, and then we make sure that the integrity of the information is secured. So we anticipate that we should be able to finish this project by August 2012. We're using our NARISEC students who are helping us with this consuming task. On the third question by Honorable Trollip, it's a temporary issue. There are instances where we transferred land to the state. It's a temporary matter. We will then retransfer those properties into the name of claimants. We are doing it at the moment. We are having a process where we have identified, we have compared the information that our state land register unit has with the deeds office. There are some properties that has been identified. We are gradually transferring those that we can transfer. There are those, I know that the same question comes up later in the questions, but there are those properties that we cannot just transfer now before we do our homework and ensure that the land is going to go into the proper hands or institutions have been created to manage the land. But yes, it's temporary. We have embarked on the process to make sure that we transfer all the state land that we have created, so to say, to the proper claimants. I will move to Ngwenya Mabile's honourable members' questions, Chairperson, with your permission. Now, the plans to ensure fast tracking of the unresearched claims, we will assemble a research team. We are busy trying to establish a research team to be able to help us in tracking and fast tracking the unresearched claims, honourable member. As you know, restitution goes by stages. So, as more claims go into the finalisation stage, more resource and capacity is put into that, and sometimes we tend to leave the formative stages of the process unattended. But we are trying to have a research team to be able to unlock the number, which is quite huge, in order that we can make sure that we validate the claims so that they are all researched and then they get into the system of gazette validation, negotiation up until the Section 42D stage. The other question was the 75,506 claims. They are not categorized, honourable member. Further categorization will still have to happen. So those are claims settled. Some among them are finalized. Some are not finalized. Finalized mean we've paid, we've bought the property. So the 75,506 constitute those that the minister has approved, but money has not changed hands, or land acquisition has not happened. You'll see on the note that further categorization shall be finalized at the completion of the project, so as to to show the ones that have been finalized out of the ones that are settled. The database, there's always a challenge with databases, but our hope is that it will then be able to capture the correct information so that we are able to know where we are, what do we have, what animal are we dealing with, so that we can be able to, with confidence, create projections and be able to map the way forward in terms of how we'll deal with the challenge. Now, the issue of community disputes, it's not an easy one. Members may know some of these challenges in their constituencies. It's a difficult one. There is progress in some, but in some there's really a stalemate. And these are some of the problems that Minister has just alluded to now with the board that is anticipated. It might help to unlock some of the community disputes. The facility is we're trying also to, because we can't dedicate our officials to dealing with the community disputes. We are trying to use this facility to appoint seasoned mediators to help unlock some of the conflicts in our communities. So it's there is progress, but there's quite heavy challenges with regarding community disputes. As a result, we may prolong the transfer of some state land in some cases, in order that we ensure that we act responsibly when we transfer land. I'll then move to the set of questions for the honourable member there. The scanning process. The scanning, we have done three provinces. The scanning we have completed, we are almost complete, 95%. As I said, the manual counting, we had done only three provinces. We will continue once physical scanning has been completed. As I said, the scanning is to make sure that we remove the manual files off-site so that we keep them somewhere, and then we deal with the database, and then we'll analyze how many are those lodged claims so that we are able to come to a authentic figure. Now, I've alluded to the reasons why we may not have researched some of the claims. It's because of the capacity that is needed. Once you push more claims into the finalization stage, more effort is being driven into that point so that we can finalize the claims. Hence, some of the unresearched claims are not moving at the pace that we anticipate. Once you move about 100 claims, after research, we'd want to make sure that the process is finalized and you have a settlement before you push more capacity into putting more researching claims and putting them into the system. The other questions on the difference, I didn't get it quite clear, but I think that the answer there captures it, to say that of the 979,921 hectares that has been transferred in the name of claiming communities in the state, approximately out of that 140,262 has been transferred in the name of the state, as I said, due to community disputes and other various challenges where, for example, verification needs to be done because there's been an objection as to people who were verified before. Other concerned groups are saying the people that you verified are not the true ones that used to reside there. So there are some challenges that as commission we need to carefully go through in order to make sure that what we do minimizes potential risks going forward into post-settlement of that project. The national security value, I would imagine there we are referring to your Madimbo base, for example, next to Zimbabwe there, on the border of the Limpopo River, where there's a South African Defense Force base. What we are saying there is that we should keep the defense force there, and possibly we can give the community another portion of the land. We are referring to the Kruger National Park and other national security value assets, like in Woodsprate, where there's a defense force. It is claimed. We are saying possibly we should keep the defense force possibly there. We are still negotiating. Not an easy process, though, because already there are established properties, the Defense Forces, training, the Air Force, and so on and so on, so forth. The question from the other honorable member is the changing hands in terms of staff. Unfortunately, when we hire fairly young people, when they do have opportunities, they do resign and they apply for better posts, and we are left with no option but to assign other officials to carry on with the claim. We are aware that sometimes our officials don't revert back, don't answer calls, and so on. We do reiterate that every time. Minister always reiterate that time in our meetings. We try to encourage them to focus on customer relations. We've done the studies, customer satisfaction survey. But if there are problems, you know, sometimes it's better to report it to myself or any other senior manager so that we can look at a particular problem. We do realize that there will be some odd challenging problems in some provinces. Claims on communal land that is occupied. We are referring to land which is under a certain tribal jurisdiction, but not necessarily where there's a settlement. You find that there's a community that was removed some years ago and put into another place, but where they've been removed, as we speak now, it's not occupied. It's a bare land. You can, when you drive, you can see it, but it's under a different tribal leader. Now, the question there when people claim is, well, you have to restore this land. I travel every day here. I see it's empty here. Why do you say you cannot restore it? Because it's just grazing land. There's nothing there. But due to our process, we say because it's under a particular tribal leader. is not restorable. Those are the challenges that we have. And yet the people who have claimed the land, they see it every day. In fact, even their cows are not allowed to graze in that area. It's the other tribes' cows that graze there. So it's one of those challenges in those kinds of claims that we have. It's a challenge. It's not as easy in settling those kind of claims. The other question from the honourable member the unresearched claims, the reasons, I think I've alluded to that, why there is so much unresearched claims in KZN. It might be possibly because there were so many land claims lodged in KZN, or it might be possibly due to the fact that there are more complicated claims in KZN. That's hence the number of claims that are still outstanding in KZN. So each province has its own unique set of circumstances. But that's what we have recorded, that's the outstanding land claims. We are focusing on KZN particularly so that we can unlock this gem that has put really a stop, quite a heavy burden on unlocking some of these unresearched claims. We have appointed the head of the office there, Advocate Mbili. He's doing so well so far, so that we can be able to move the unresearched claims so that they can get into the next phases, so that we can reduce the number. I agree, it's quite a high number. Now, I think I've also answered this in some of my answers. The 142.62 that has been transferred in the name of the state, it's because of those other issues where, we can't wait. We have to move so that we are able to finalize the claim. And I've said that we are busy in the process of identifying those, transferring those that are transferable, but I must agree that there are those that will be put in abeyance until the situation is ripe for them to be transferred to the communities. Honourable Chairperson, I think I've tried my best to answer all the questions. If I've omitted one or two or three, maybe I can be reminded and I'll go back to those. Thanks a lot.
This is an opportunity for any follow-up that somebody may have, or among your staff minister, whether there's anybody who wants to add to what has been said. Honourable Trolley.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chairperson, notwithstanding the responses that were given around the records management project and the two instances about lodged timeously but no record and also lodged with a previous organization, it concerns me that of the 2.8 million hectares that have been settled but not finalized for restitution, that only a small percentage, 900,000 hectares, have been concluded, and 1.9 million hectares remains untransferred. And that this body was established in 1995 to conclude this work, and we're now in 2012, and we're still talking about historical and very vague reasons about possible decentralization being the reason for these problems having arisen. Now, this creates severe frustration in the communities that are supposed to be the recipients of this land. But more importantly, it creates a very unstable and precarious political situation where people use antiquated figures to illustrate the uneven occupation of land in this country. So I think, Chair, and being a very new member of this committee, I don't want to be presumptuous, but I've been hearing these kind of explanations and possibly decentralization and these very vague reasons for the fact that there's such massive backlogs here that we really as a committee or parliament need to take some firm decisions about the authenticity of deadlines. I asked the acting commissioner about whether August 2012 was an authentic date. I've underlined that date and I'll make a note of it, and we will see in August how far the commission has come. But we can't continue year after year having vague reasons for why we can't finalize this program. And then the report that I was very interested in receiving today from the SIU around fraud and corruption in this regard has now been sent somewhere else for consideration before it comes back here. But this is precisely the environment where fraud and corruption can thrive, where 16 years can pass, where there is no finalization of a process that is actually not too difficult to finalize, despite the frustrations that the minister referred to. I accept those, but those should be isolated cases. They shouldn't account for 1.9 million hectares untransferred.
Any further? Nothing. Thank you very much. The vexing question about the transfer of land, for which we have been grossly distorted in the newspaper and the August following the meeting of the 18th, has been clarified by the minister. I had to approach him to say, Mr. Minister, we were confronting a number of departments in the Western Cape that came to the committee. We were worried about the slow pace of the transfer of land to the communities, not only in the Western Cape but in the rest of the country. We wanted him to explain both what you are raising now and the institutions that are handling that. The minister was not aware that he since became aware after our conversation that there is a committee called Provincial State Land Disposal Committee that is charged with the responsibility to dispose land, state land, to communities. That was not doing that work. The chairperson was here in that meeting on the 18th of January to say nothing is happening in that committee. She was here. Yeah, but I'm talking about a meeting of the 18th. What are you correcting? Mr. Trolibaba and the Azuango Pachas. So, this is the Gaga Pachas, the Zuxtuad Pachas. So the lady had indicated to us that that committee is not performing its duties. So we went back to the minister to say, we're concerned about the slow pace of the transfer of land to communities. They have now since compiled a fully fledged report that indicates, in actual fact, 140,262 hectares of land, which should have been in the hands of the community, which should have been worked by the communities, are recorded in the hands of the state. And the Honorable Zulu asked the question, but there was no answer to that question. He asked, what is the nature of the maintenance of that land?